Could you speak some about Achan Cha's time with Achan Man and the influence of that time on his sense of practice?
Yes. Of course, Achan Man was really the greatest forest master of the 20th century and influenced so many people. And Ajahn Chah, I have to give a bit of a perspective again in the non-homogeneous nature of Thai Buddhism, in that even in the practice traditions, there's two fundamental schools of a practice or lineages in Buddhism. And the smaller group or sect, the Miut, and that was where most of the forest teachers arose out of that. And Ajahn Man was a Damiut monk. And Ajahn Cha was a Mahanikaya monk. And so that it wasn't so easy to live in each other's monasteries. Just sectarian nature of human beings, unfortunately. But of course there was, he went and stayed, but to stay for a long period was a bit more complicated. So most of the monks who trained with Ajahn Man, probably, or a substantial percentage, were Mahanikaya monks. They came, they gained faith, they practiced with them, and they reordained with Ajahn Man. And that was a doubt that there was a few doubts that Ajahn Chah had when he went to visit Ajahn Man. He didn't live with him for that many days. It was like 3 days, which is actually a standard thing for, okay, you can visit, but if you're going to stay, you really have to make a commitment and start contemplating a changing lineage. And there was a doubt that he had about, there's three major things that he took away from his time with Ajahn Man that were immediate at that time. And subsequent to that, he had many, many visions of Ajahn Man that informed me. He was very inspired by it. But one was the Ajahn Chah was studying the rules of training. And that was part and parcel of the... most monks in Thailand really don't know the rules of training. They don't know the Vinaya discipline. It's much more passed on through custom, tradition. It's not that they're bad, but they don't not that refined and developed. Ajahn Man was well trained in the discipline, and Ajahn Chah was studying that, and he was just confused. There's all these rules. How can you keep all these rules? This is so confusing. And Ajahn Man sort of said, "Well, you don't need to know all the rules. What you need to do is learn how to be develop the mindfulness and the clarity. Learn to if you understand your own heart, you'll understand how to live with this quality of." Actually, it was in one of the readings. This wise shame and I'm not sure how, I can't remember how it was phrased, but a circumspection in terms of action. And he said, and that's what protects you. You don't have to know all the rules, but you will be keeping them because you'll have the essence there. So that was a burden that Ajahn Chah was able to drop, to getting to the essence of why do we keep all these rules anyway? It's well to be have that clarity of mindfulness and a wisdom in being able to relinquish what's unskillful. And another aspect was around the question of should he asked him, should I live with you? Should I reordain and come and train with you? And Ajahn Mun said, not necessary. Mahanikaya needs good monks as well. It was very insightful because he provided a, Ajahn Chah ended up providing a model that was outside of the, say, the Dhamma Ute circle. And 85% of all the monks in Thailand are Mahanikaya. So that Ajahn Chah's example managed to influence a large number of contemporary monks. Something else that he gained from his time with Ajahn Mun was an insight, a wisdom insight, in terms of how to handle practice. And in terms of practice, he said to, like, Ajahn Mun was saying, you develop all this practice, this, you do the sitting meditation, walking meditation, develop the mindfulness and investigation. But in the end, what you have to understand is the difference between the moods of the mind and the essential mind, the mind itself. And he said that's because usually what we're caught up in is the moods of the mind, the objects of mind. And the fundamental awareness, the radiance of the mind, tends to get overlooked. So that informed Ajahn Chah's practice tremendously. Ajahn Chah also ended up training with a couple other students of Ajahn Mun who were also Mahanikaya monks who lived with Ajahn Mun in the earlier days when Ajahn Mun was a younger monk and he wasn't so well known in the hierarchy and in the culture. Then there was much easier because he wasn't really all that tight around the sectarian issue. He was just looking for people who were practice. And it was as he got more well known, then people put pressure on him. That's how it works. But Ajahn Chah, there was two older monks who had trained with Ajahn Mun for many years, and both exceptional. And one was an older monk in the north, and two different, very different personalities. Ajahn Kinnerly was a very simple monk, very very quiet, very composed, very beautiful in everything he did. And Ajahn Tonglat, who was a very flamboyant character, big personality, and but both great monks.